Welcome to the With the Will podcast. We're here to entertain for a bit while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark. I run With the Will and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm Dev Hugh, and my store has finally started carrying caramel eggs.
And because we have so much to talk about, we went through the virtual Rolodex and found a guest who you guys have actually heard on the show before.
Hi, I'm Jeff from Podigis, and
formerly of Podigis.
It's just sleeping for a very long time because I've gotten more and more into the card game over time to the point where it's consumed all of my life.
Yeah, ironically, I want to say the last time we talked, we were joking about that one card with the ludicrous name from Seekers. The last time you and me talked about the card game stuff.
Oh, yeah, and just like how that could even be typeset appropriately.
And I believe...
The one where it's like super, super squashed in the cards department.
And I think the... English, I think that's what they did also. It just was cartoonishly squashed, but I don't actually remember.
Yeah, and I think the last time I was on the podcast was for the Zero to the Beginning movie discussion, which means that I guess it's been like a year and a half of the Digimon card game being the Ukomon card game instead, but yeah.
Well, to be fair, for all we know, the card game may not exist anymore, because it seems like every week on Twitter, I get exactly the same two things said to me. One, Digimon is just the card game now, it's carrying it, or two, the card game is on its last legs and it'll be gone very quickly. Now, considering I've heard the same, both of those for going on a while, I'm going to say neither's true.
I mean, like 10 years?
I'm trying to remember the first time I heard the card game was dead, and I think it might have been when I made that joke about card game fans being fickle.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of doomerism because of, well, I guess we're at a on the verge of a flux point because of the Gundam card game about to come out officially.
Yeah.
Out of beta. But like once One Piece came out and a lot of people moved over, I kind of split my time half and half between the two of them and eventually got frustrated by One Piece players enough that I stopped back to Digimon full time.
From my perspective, I just don't generally play card games anymore. So I sort of just go, ooh, art. Ooh, art. Ooh, art.
I think it's great.
The Pokemon game, but I will collect the Digimon one when I'm super depressed and I want sparkly cardboard to make myself feel better. Unfortunately, it's all being scalped. Even the Digimon ones are just completely gone.
Yeah, it's... I've seen the videos and I'm sure Jeff has also. I mean, hell, I'm trying to get a 5070 Ti and Jesus Christ, those are being scalped.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, Digimon's my first card game, so, like, that's what I assumed all card games were like, and to hear that there were like some card games where you can just like freely buy things at MSRP all the time, and I'm like, what? You can do that in a card game? That's real? But I don't know.
I don't believe you.
Yeah. Now, we have plenty to talk about. We will be back to the card game section, I'm sure. In fact, I already see some. There'll be card game questions for Jeff when we hit questions. But for now, let's get through these mini deluge of stuff that will suck up time, and I'm sure we'll hit back to the card game for a bit more than normal with Jeff. So first up, Liberator stuff. Episode 11, part one of the comic. This one's interesting because it's not really like, it's more part three of what we were at before. It's just now it's Shoto. I'd like starting off with Yao because a good way to transition into it. But also...
Yeah, and even though it was how to play the card game again.
Interesting. Those are the ones that work least for me just because I don't play it. Especially since, unless I'm just wrong, and I've said it before, I don't believe there's any mechanic to swap cards in the way that Sam is doing in the comic.
Probably why they kind of abridged
I don't believe that's a thing. Jeff, do you have any idea?
No.
I mean, that's just magic swapping cards, right? There's not actually a mechanic to do that.
No. I mean, it's kind of a cool story beat to, like, reveal new cards that way. Like, the fact that he's, like, using older Imperial Digimon cards and swapping them with new ones is like, but no. In a real game, no.
That's one of those ones where I'm curious to see when the match is over and they do the column. Do you even do an overview of this? Because it's not a real game. Like, there is no equivalent to this in the real world like the last ones have been.
Yeah, I mean, part of it, like the beginning of this chapter in particular, like where it was just Shoto thought he knew the deck and then he was like, well, I have these Imperial Digimon support cards instead. That at least feels realistic because it's like, well, you know, like they could have changed their deck between games or something. But when it's like, this card's in the trash, I'm going to change it before I play it from the trash. Like, no, that's entered Fairyland.
Yeah. The one interesting thing that I found personally is they went back to Terramon lecturing Shoto. Am I wrong? Has it been a while since the comic has done that?
Yeah, usually
it reminds
Shoto hasn't been fucking up that much.
Yeah, he's been kind of competent. It reminds me of did either of you watch Power Rangers SPD?
No.
One time in an early episode, a character named Bridge refers to liking his toast buttery. And fans just started repeating buttery on their own. And they were still filming the show at the time. So one time, like 30 episodes later, he says buttery. And the characters go, Bridge, why do you say buttery so much? And it's like, I don't think he said it since that one episode.
I feel it's the same with the Gilmon bread and peanut butter.
See, the Gilmon bread, though, was at least something that got mentioned a few times.
Peanut butter was once forever.
Well, this is good to hear in general because I've been very behind on the comic and I've read the first couple chapters and then read this latest one to talk for the show. And I was like, oh, I guess Shoto just gets lectured all the time and never learns. So it's good.
That's actually it. Like, unless I'm mixing it up and I think it's been months since we got one of those Shoto isn't quite sure of himself and Terramon has to give him the pep talk.
Yeah, he's been getting better, especially once he was on, like, the debugging team,
And I actually like the end of the chapter, except they make the cliffhanger less menacing by stopping and going, everything's happening exactly as Shoto knew it would. It's like, no, don't do that. At the very end, like, right at the climax of the chapter, they stop to tell us that whatever's happening, for better or for worse, this is exactly what Shoto expected.
Yeah, like, I go back and forth about the level of Shoto's level, like as a game player, is very frustrating to.
It's whatever needs to be in any given chapter. I believe. I say that as someone who's not a card game player.
But it's just the like the general like attitude is so unrealistic, and I don't. But the thing that he does at the end, where he's like, "I'm going to use this really powerful deletion effect to delete your most powerful guy." Forgetting that the most powerful guy has a way to like actually benefit from being deleted. That is actually like a very, very common player move when you're like, I get like, it's hard to remember to read all your opponent's cards and everything. So like that was the moment where I was like, this is very realistic to a kind of amateur player. Some of the other stuff where he's like, oh no, he evolved for 2 cost into a level 4. Oh no. And it's like, okay, that stuff sucks.
That's good commentary. Do you know why? I think, and me and Dev do it also, we all fall into the trap of we kind of expect the fictional people to be perfect.
Yeah.
When that is what would happen in real life. You kind of forget, people are going to forget to read cards and just go, I'm going to do this and do it. And they go, oh, shit.
Yeah, it's like, Digimon cards are a wall of fucking text, okay?
Yeah.
It's true. But the weird thing is, like, I mean, this Imperial Digimon, this virus Imperial Digimon, not reskin, this upgrade to the virus Imperial Digimon deck that Sam the Clown is using is fairly new. Like, it just came out in Japan like a month ago or whatever. But the blue-green Imperial deck has partition and has this very exact thing where, like, it's very common for an amateur player going up against the deck to be like, I need to remove that guy. And they're like, okay, I spit out 2 bodies and I can go back into the same guy. So what? You actually benefited me because I get benefits for now. this is a very common thing.
You have activated my trap card.
Okay, and then on to the novel. First, we get 4 segments. I really wish they would split these up rather than throwing up 4 segments at a time. I could understand doing a full chapter. It splits it apart in a way that's weird when so much time has passed.
Yeah, did...
Awkward.
I could have sworn the Japanese versions of these came out, like... 2 and 2 separately, and then we got 4 at once.
No, sure. So what happened was it's always 4 segments, 2 chapters, but the last batch, for whatever reason, the English ones were delayed by a week.
Okay.
And we're not sure why, but those came out differently, so I think a few people got confused at the time, thinking that they weren't all out in Japan yet, and that cut, but they were all up that night. I know because I go through all these instantly to see if there are any new cards that I need to post. And this time there was not, which upset some people very much.
Yeah, that's the kind of, if there are new cards, that's what's the buzz and the, that's how I hear about it. And it's like, these chapters I barely heard about because there weren't new cards.
7.1 is basically a conversation between Klos, Arisa, and Violet. The weird thing here is, so this is the comic characters. There are, I don't remember if any novel characters actually show up here, minus the mention that whoever that last character is apparently Arisa's sister, the one novel character we haven't met yet, minus in a few teasers. That is apparently Arisa's sister.
Huh.
And they also reveal that Klos is Unchained's sister. It feels, they don't give it any weight. It felt very odd, which, yeah. I actually like this segment. It's very different than the rest. The key art for it also tells you exactly what the artist's fetish is. like, there's no doubt someone likes the belly buttons. There's no doubt there. 7.2, what may have been my favorite bit of text prose we've gotten from Digimon. It is a chapter narrated by Muchomon.
Which I was confused by at first because I'm red-green colorblind, and I was like, the first couple paragraphs mentioned red fur, and I was like, oh, I guess Terramon has red fur I didn't know about. And then I realized that it was Muchomon.
So this one I like because it has Muchomon and Terramon talking, and then it gets into Muchomon's inner feelings where Muchomon even admits that he's not being completely honest about his feelings about it because he doesn't want to come off as jealous, even though internally he is. Just, I don't have a lot to say about it. I just really liked it.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I thought the kind of like conclusion of the chapter being like how Shoto got his one of his carabiners. Is it both of his carabiners or one of them?
I think it was two, because I think he got there was a red one.
Was it one carabiner that was both colors?
I don't remember. My brain keeps jumping to the plastic ones that me and Dev talked about last week.
Oh.
Which we'll go over again later because they pop up somewhere.
Because I remember finding ridiculous how he has two carabiners.
Completely non-functional ones.
Yeah.
But okay, so it's one red one and one yellow. Is that the other color?
I think that was it.
Yeah. So I thought that was absurd character design, but then this novel is like precisely the explanation of why he has two carabiners, which I thought was very cute.
Yeah, and since I believe the writer of the novel is the writer of the webcomic, is the person who designed them, it may actually be that's the real explanation and not coming up with an explanation later. but yeah, 7 I liked. 8.1, it's weird because we have not actually seen much Yuki Nipmon in this novel. Outside of the first chapter, am I wrong, or have they mostly been guest characters, or am I misremembering?
Thing is, I usually just skim them really fast before the podcast.
I sit there and read them. I don't necessarily retain them fully, but I do read through them all to try to understand what's going on. So this is kind of... What's interesting is I think the forest they're wandering in is meant to be the launch event promo card from Booster 20, I think. And then... I think Hackmon's great as a cameo type character because it always feels like something's about to fucking happen. It's like, hey, it's Hackmon. Ah, shit. Something's about to go wrong.
It's like, he's here.
And then that transitions to him not liking Cool Boy. And then in 8.2, we get a battle. I've seen some people complain about the translation of this one. It worked for me. And it did not feel overly artificial, especially when my favorite line was, this guy's got plays for days. And I'm just like, yeah, that's how I know it's not completely a machine translation, because that's a terrible line that's perfect.
Yeah, like overall, I mean, I haven't read all of the web novel. I've been meaning to catch up on everything. But like, it is generally the translation quality is like, good enough with a couple occasional
moments.
It's
not Early Seekers. Let's just say that. Yeah. Since someone asked in the chat, someone said they thought his name was Hackmon now. They can't decide in English if it's Hackmon or Hackmon, so I go with Hackmon because it makes more sense.
I think the card game has been consistent.
The card game has. I mean, I refuse to use the card game purely because they're misspelling Ichijoji and they're going with Creepymon.
Yeah, no, the card game isn't the, I mean, yeah, Shu Chonglong, is not.
Yo, you don't get me. I think 2 weeks or a month ago I was ranting about
decisions, so I'm electing to ignore them.
Yeah. Like, some things, like, I understand, like, Cross Wars isn't necessarily as well known in its fusion form, so I can understand them going with the Japanese names. For whatever reason they chose for it. I go with Demon, go with Daemon, come up with an alternative. Once I hear Creepymon, I just go, ugh.
One thing I do really appreciate about being much more in the, like, TCG fandom, first of all, I don't appreciate that, like, most people, like, barely remember the show or, like, don't even watch the show or whatever. And it's like, oh, my God, you guys don't even know the lore. It's weird to refer to, like, the most iconic moments in the anime as, like, deep lore. But anyway, but, like, no one cares about, like, I'm so used to the Digimon fandom getting so opinionated and so angry about name translation stuff.
So it's, for me, it's not necessarily translations that get me angry. It's when it's bad choices. I can understand Creepymon in the sense of early toy. At this point, I would say it's Bandai being stubborn, which they're very good at, but there's a lot of changes they make where I can easily brush it aside and, like, that's what it is. Creepymon's one of those ones where it just kind of feels like they're being stubborn, because, like, they're not calling him Darkmon anymore, like they did with Demon.
Yeah.
Okay. Not yeah, Demon, Devimon. Brain jumped. Yeah.
I guess it's, I don't know, I guess we should celebrate the times where they've reversed a course that seemed silly to stick to, because, I mean, I used to work for the company that keeps printing Zolo in One Piece manga despite every One Piece fan in the world hating it, and trying to, I don't know, sometimes
I'm still fucking mad about that one manga. I think you used to get annoyed when I pulled up the comparison for Nisekoi, where, for whatever reason, it looked entirely different on every storefront.
Oh, that kind of rings a bell. I don't remember it exactly.
I just remember that it was one of the worst-looking Viz mangas digitally, and it would look violently worse sometimes storefront to storefront. It used to drive me insane. Yeah, so we get Yuki battling Hackmon, and then she trips over saying Jessmon GX Ace, which is funny, which I like. And then I like when we get the explanation for Cool Boy. They reference Hackmon is mad at Cool Boy because Cool Boy used to hang out in a different game, and he thinks he abandoned him. And what they're clearly referencing is this. Most people don't know this because he's associated with Chronicle. Cool Boy was not in Chronicle. He was in little side materials to Chronicle where he showed the main characters how to play the card game.
Oh.
So they actually reference that as being like cool, what Cool Boy used to do before Liberator. Like, they reference him being in a different game and helping, and they thought he abandoned him.
Oh, see, I guess I think I read this before, this detail of him only being a promotional material, but I was confused because I thought it was implying that Chronicle itself.
No, yeah, that's
promotional material.
It's like a little booklet.
It was in I don't remember what it came with, but yeah, it wasn't in Chronicle itself. Chronicle, because it's promotional mini comics, everyone thinks it is. Yeah. So moving on from Liberator, comic. So I'm
so fucking much. It's all good, but it's so much.
Can we point out they actually gave us warning this time? Issue 2. I went to sleep. I woke up, and it was just there. This time we at least got like a day or two of warning. Although this was after 2 weeks after we thought it was going to show up. Just to point that out. So we're not going to go over comic in detail, just because holy hell, they like to just throw up a bunch of these at once. So
we will be here forever in that case.
So recollection, it starts off, and the connection to Digimon Bloom, the story they did a year ago, was always explicit. This one just points it out.
I still need to read that one.
We get nice flashback. I love all the Agumons. Just all of them.
I love the comment about Galgamon having pants now.
So one thing Recollection has done very well is just being the love letter of references fitting in. And like half the time, it's not like a reference going wink, wink. It's Rico saying something she remembers from the franchise, which I just like.
He is an absolute delight. Yeah. I love her.
And when Rico's grabbed by, at that point, is it still Informon? Is it?
Yeah, it's Informon at the time.
The art changes for her being grabbed. And then we get the levity of the cliffhanger where the suggestion is that she's gone at this point. Like, she's digital, but she's not coming back if you believe what's being said. And in theory, we only have one left. So, the comedy's great. The toys are great. And then Knuckles is weird because this one spends a lot of time on explaining what's going on without actually answering it.
It felt really jumpy, like just
being
around it everywhere.
I think the problem is because a lot of them, the first two were set up, and now they have to explain it, but without giving the climax, since there's only four parts. So we get the great fight, Gankumon, Jessmon, but it doesn't actually tell us what happened. It hints at it. And the VIP for Knuckles is revealing that the bad guy is Leviamon, but it's also like a weird plushy Leviamon. Like here's the thing. The one thing about Leviamon's design I don't like is the nose always feels too long for me, the snout. And this is like a weird chubby SD Leviamon, which works for me.
The greatest of Steve.
Yeah. Then Paradox. Paradox is the one that I think suffers the most from the format. Because most of the others have, they're very good stories, and you can explain the concept in like one sentence. So it's very easy to not forget stuff. Paradox is more complicated, so it's starting off with kind of explaining what's going on, then jumping to Eve to the explanation of her being an AI, then she gets kidnapped. Then I love the Kuwagumon on the screen. Paradox has also been really great with its color shots.
God, that was so fucking cool with the metal Tyrannomon.
So good. And then we get the background. The background stuff's good, but it falls into a trap in this case because Paradox lives or breathes based on the character stuff between Reiji, Eve, and Wanya. And kind of not here for a decent chunk of it. And then Wanya.
Yeah, I got taken up by explanation.
Yeah, a bit. I still like it, but I need the climax to tie things up really good. Because this was the one where, like, we get the answers. But also, the answers are very complicated, spending time explaining time travel concepts, which I like that. But 99% of people just kind of go, oh, man, I don't need to hear about time travel concepts. It's a headache.
Man, hearing you describe these comics really makes me frustrated at the release strategy.
No, I really think the better solution would be, like, if you want to do cycling through them, have a different one every 3 weeks. That way, even if they're split apart, you still feel connected to them. Here, I haven't put much thought into the comics prior to 3 months ago.
Yeah, exactly.
And something like Paradox does not click well when it's pulled apart like that.
Yeah, and like, because just like all of these ideas are all gold.
The time gaps,
like, because it's like five at once. It's like,
well, yeah, it's gold. A lot of them are unique. They aren't something else in the franchise. They're unique takes. But if you want to read them without being spoiled, like we make sure people know we're talking about the comics. So theoretically, you should go read them first if you can. But if you want to be online, most people can't really do that. You have to immediately guzzle them down if you don't want to be spoiled. And you have to remember what happened 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Sometimes that involves going back and rereading shit.
Yeah. And moving on from Paradox, Mini Digimon Story of the Rollouts. This is the one that's probably the lightest and easiest because it is just Wanyamon and Dynasmon walking around fucking about, honestly.
Oh god, it was beautiful. Especially when they keep getting everyone caught in Eczemon's
No, my favorite part is that's Dynasmon doing it just so he doesn't have to deal with people.
Yep.
Is Eczemon so big, he actually causes theory of relativity, time dilation. So if you get near him, time moves slower near him. Dynasmon just keeps going, could you go check this with Eximon just to get rid of people? And this is good.
And also, UL Force Vidramon doing the little happy Zero Mara dance.
Anytime we get a Zero Mara reference is a good day. And then last up, the random but not unhappy return of Eiji and Lugamon from Digimon Seekers in technically a sequel to Seekers. I say technically because it doesn't. It is a story of Eiji and Lugamon. It's after Seekers, but thus far there is no actual sequel aspect, if that makes sense.
It's just stuff they're doing. It's just after Seekers.
So I really
format works so much better for it.
It does. I really like it. My main issue with those, if you read this, does it feel at all like the characters from Seekers? Like, Eiji's kind of like...
It doesn't feel as edgy.
He's a successful and almost happy-go-lucky guy. Like, he's so friendly to people. Lugamon, they keep drawing, is cute and as goofy as possible.
But he's still an asshole, which works so well. He is.
But then, like, they meet Orochimon. Eiji's like, he's such a great guy. And Lugamon's just like, no, he's not. And then Chumon gets beat up. Yulin and Satsuki are wearing completely different clothes. Were those casual clothes or different police outfits? I can't tell what Satsuki Yulin, I'm pretty sure, was wearing something new.
It looked casual, because they were just meeting out for lunch or something.
And then, they talk about who they sent undercover to get information. Seals-Ramon does not work as undercover for me. I know he's done in plots before, but that's normally as like an assassin. When you think of Seals-Ramon and he has like
undercover,
the
in quotation parts.
Yeah, when he has like the giant fin, unless he's walking around with like the Jedi robe, I can't think of him like trying to gather information. And then the villain's Nidhoggmon, and we're introduced to him eating someone. I don't know if that's a stylized tongue or if he's eating someone.
Oh yeah, he definitely is horking something.
No, okay, definitely an arm in addition to maybe a tongue.
Okay, that's
he went,
thought it was an arm, but I'm sitting there going, he had a lot of weird stylized appendages in the in the anime and card art. So I kind of wondered if maybe I was projecting it being an arm, but no, if you guys say it is, then yeah. And as far as we know, all of these are ending next issue. I say as far as we know because we have news later. Yeah, I liked Walsam. It may be my favorite part of Seekers so far, honestly.
I love how Doraemon is just grumpy, like a grumpy old man.
Well, to be fair, he's probably the one who's closest to how he was in the web novel. Except he didn't have the hoodie this time. And then they also showed off the Seekers mangas in V-Jump, which is always nice. I'm still confused why they keep referring to Digimon Comic having four stories when there's five. I guess they count Seekers as not a new story because Seekers existed before. I guess.
Maybe?
I don't know. It's still weird to me, honestly. And then, tomorrow, Digimon Adventure 02 is out subbed on Blu-ray. And I can stop stressing about it as people get it in early.
Does that mean you stress less when people start getting it?
No, I stress less. I get to stress less once people have had it for a few weeks and I'm sure nothing blows apart.
Like, oh no, all the discs went out and there's a horrible scratch on them that when they click this episode, it starts singing inappropriate music.
To be fair, that can't happen. If there's a scratch on the disc, that's not my department. I'm not happy if someone gets it with a scratch, but that's sometimes just a manufactured oddity. But yes, so far people are happy, so I'm happy. I will be more happy once people get far enough in it that I can go, oh good, there's no actual issues. And then no one ever has to see those horrible ones ever again that they appeared years ago on, what was that service that IGN had when they had a store? Direct to Drive. That was the first time we got Digimon Subdeficient, I believe. They were old digital captures from an old streaming service Toei had. They were nearly unwatchable, and the subtitles used Find and Replace on some stuff.
Oh, no.
I'm glad this is finally out as part of the conspiracy to take Digimon off of Hulu, because I know that was obviously the plan.
I mean, if that was the plan, it would have been gone when season what happened season one.
True.
Yeah.
I just need to find a way to make new conspiracy theories.
The Hulu stuff has nothing to do with this, to the best of my knowledge. But yeah, I'm happy it's out. I'm happy people are enjoying it. I'm happy that people like the disc labels.
They look really fucking cool.
Yeah, I'm sure me and Dev will be talking about the set more next week once it's officially out. But I'm very happy people are getting them. And then, the big news for the week. Hey, did you guys know Bandai did not fire everyone and eject Digimon games into the sun?
I'm just as surprised as you are.
Digimon Story Time Stranger was announced at the Sony State of Play, except we had an idea it was coming because God bless GameStop for not doing anything right. They put a listing up that morning, and immediately everyone was like, Sony has announcements today. It's not a guarantee, but everyone was there for it.
Yeah, I remember thinking that it was kind of a stretch they would actually be featured in Sony's thing, and maybe it was just Digimon Con early.
So I didn't see it as too much of a stretch for a key reason. Sony really wanted, I assume they really wanted an Elden Rings feature. And since Bandai distributes that, Bandai can go, well, we want another slot. Because you don't want them to wait a week or two for a Microsoft event or for, you know, to be featured as a Steam PC event. You want it to be the Sony event. So let's go over what we have. Time Stranger is the newest Digimon Stories game. Theoretically, this is the one that Habu, for whatever reason, kept talking about before Hacker's Memory was out.
That's before Hacker's Memory is out?
The first time he mentioned it, Hacker's Memory was not out, which is part of why when people go, oh, it's been in development for 8 years, I tend to go, no, I don't think it's been in development. I think they were doing stuff like plotting new models or Media Vision upgrading their internal engine that they use for games. Stuff that technically was development for this, but which were being done regardless. Like some of these models people have said have shown up in recent mobile games.
Yeah, so you gotta just reuse it.
Oh, and someone in chat asked about the why don't Iori and Miyako get discs? They're on the dub set. I literally take images of everyone and move them around until we get a combination that feels even. So Time Strangers could be on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X/S, and PC. All already announced. Physical copies already up for pre-order.
Or did they not announce Switch? I guess that's what people were assuming. Maybe Switch 2, maybe.
I'm assuming Switch 2 for a reason we'll get into in a few minutes. The game, we can see decent amount of Olympus 12, which we knew because Habu had talked about it. Did you see the language list?
Yes.
Very nice listing of languages. It almost feels like a real game this time.
I mean, the first, I guess Survive was different, but like, you know, like I feel like we've kind of been living off of Cyber Sleuth and Hacker's Memory, and it's easy to forget that like started as a Vita game, you know, like, but yeah, this.
Well, so that's one of the weird things, and that's where we'll get to that in a minute. We've seen very little, so we're not going to be doing long, like back into the left frame analysis, which I know some people are doing.
Not final.
It's just, but yes, functionally speaking, in the last 10 years, not including mobile games, it's been variations of Cyber Sleuth, Next Order, and Survive. And I think that's where the positive and negative here is. So first up, new game, new models. If you actually watch the game, I'm not convinced it actually feels that different from Cyber Sleuth based on how little we have. Like it's the digital world. It's the digital world this time. It's not the blue tunnels of Eden. From what little we've seen, it's the new Digimon story, which sounds weird to say, but it does fall into that trap of Digimon story is always Digimon story to some degree, if that makes sense.
I mean, I feel like there was a big jump with Cyber Sleuth, though, of like storytelling techniques.
There definitely was. And I think
kind of like the same, still more like mechanics.
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant.
Gameplay wise. Yeah.
The main sure. thing for Cyber Sleuth was, if you liked character stuff, there was so much more than in the prior story games.
Yeah.
And we don't have enough here to know what the new twists are going to be. My main concern is the new models are nice. The new textures I'm not super impressed by, especially the shadow whatever on the characters.
It looks like some of the models that people I've seen people praising, like Zudomon.
The orange fur on Zudomon does not look good.
It just all looks too shaded and like.
No. I'm saying if you look at like the orange fur like around his feet, it's like weird low resolution texture. Look at the main character's face in that same shot.
I mean, even forgiving that technical flub, but like just the art style, I'm not.
I don't feel like I've seen enough of the art style to know yet, because Digimon models often don't fully represent the art style itself. So I don't want to judge, say, the art style based on some models of the main characters not looking great or the shading stuff. Like, for example, all joking aside, the shot of Tidemon, the shot of Omegamon does look pretty nice. Minus some of, like, the shading on the War Gray arm is kind of wonky. Like, the shading
scene... That's something that they actually clean up.
Well, that's the thing. This could all be early stuff that doesn't matter. That's why I'm just going, I hope it's clean. Yeah. Like, the shading on Angelmon looks nice. The shading on Greymon does not.
Well, and that, because Angelmon deserves better.
And that goes back to the Switch stuff is, it would not shock me if they're aiming for that as, like, the level of graphics.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. There's a lot of ways that even not great graphics can be forgiven. Like Cyber Sleuth did not have great graphics. It looks great because of the art style. What I would like to see here is, one, I think people are going to chomp at the bit for Switch 2 port. I think people
want that. It would be very convenient for me personally.
Yeah. I would like to see high frame rate for hardware that accepts that. And I would like to see HDR because there's some really nice lighting stuff in this trailer. I would love to be blinded by that on HDR.
The thing I'm most excited for and worried at the same time is that, like, if they're going off of the Cyber Sleuth Hacker's Memory kind of template for this next generation of story game, like, I had kind of forgotten until looking back recently because of the news of the Cyber Sleuth card game set, and, like, looking back at how I thought about the games as they came out, that, like, a lot of the writing in Cyber Sleuth was, like the moment of I'm forgetting her name. Nokia's Omegamon evolution scene, which was like in all the trailers and everything, it was this hype moment, and then in the actual execution of the story was like, she can do what now? Okay.
One of the issues with Cyber Sleuth that people don't like to bring up is a lot of the marketing was based around those cool moments and they aren't necessarily cool in the game.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I love the Omegamon moment, but I also loved it when I first saw it in Gunbuster decades ago.
Well, I just feel like the Cyber Sleuth, like, it's kind of easy to forget about now because it was an impressive game on a lot of other fronts, but the actual character writing was, like, kind of bad, pretty bad.
So here's the thing. The character writing wasn't what I would call good. I wouldn't call it bad because it was able to take advantage of a specific cheat, which is all the main characters were either teenagers or messes of human beings. So a lot of the stuff that I'm not saying it was good writing, but the stuff that you can take as bad writing could also just be taken as this person's a mess.
Well, I guess my main point was that, like, I forgot how much, because my memory, Hacker's Memory and Cyber Sleuth totally blend together. And I forgot how much of the stuff that I really did enjoy writing-wise was, like, almost all in Hacker's Memory.
Well, and that was one of the things they talked about when making Hacker's Memory, was that they wanted to focus more on the writing. That was also why they took away there being two main characters that you could choose between. They wanted to define it as a character, not as a someone's going to decide for themselves that this is them, and so forth.
Your shallow self-insert.
I totally forgot that was a thing that you could even do in Cyber Sleuth, because in the card game there's only been the one version of Takumi.
I
forgot there was two.
Yeah. This time it appears the idea... See, here's the problem. There's a lot of stuff where I can go, the idea seems to be, and that could be the trailer manipulating the shit out of all of us. So, I'm looking forward to it. I would hope the graphics improve before launch, or at least the tech, like the models seem nice. The texturing and shading just doesn't do it for me. And also, it feels like people really want to guess stuff for the game. The number of people who have messaged me going, I said on social media 2 years ago, AGO mod was going to be an important part of the game, and I knew that. I deserve some sort of credit. And I go, no one gets any credit for saying Agumon once Habu said Olympus 12, because he's the most famous one. Once they said Olympus 12, you don't get any credit for guessing that the Olympus 12 are going to be there.
I disagree. He's not famous because he doesn't have a card yet. He needs a card.
He's so famous, they have to hold back giving him a card. Especially since how many fucking evolutions does he have?
Too fucking many.
You need an
entire... He's like the goat version of Eevee, okay?
To be fair, she means goat, not greatest of all time. but yeah.
Yeah, we meant like, meh.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm looking forward to the game. The one thing I do wish people would pay attention to on the screenshots, I see a lot of people going, it looks like it's open world. No, it does not. And the screenshot everyone is pointing to as an example is the Garurumon on the ocean one. I can see the walking path. Like, you cannot go off to the side in that water. Although I will say, I love that we have scenery this time. I don't think anyone would want the blue tunnels again.
The hallways, the game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what this is. I just have some issues with the texturing at the moment. I would really like them to fix that one dude's face, though. Anytime I pull up that shot, I'm just like, that is the lowest resolution texture for the... Like, you look at his face, and you look at Garurumon's eye next to him. And Garurumon's eye looks great. Much better than his face. Yeah, and the nice thing about the game is assuming it holds to it, it's coming out this year. But they're also pricing it equivalent to a brand new AAA game, which... I mean, I'm getting it. I do think... I do wonder if 70 is too much for the game long-term. Obviously, it will go down in price, but...
Unless it's a first-party Nintendo game, they all go down.
Well, no, here's the issue is this will be on shelves when new first-party Nintendo games are coming out.
It also just kind of seems like a bit of hubris to... Because I feel like Cyber Sleuth, like, sold like gangbusters when it was discounted, and it was, like dirt cheap. And
well, it did, but here's the thing. We don't actually know how much Cyber Sleuth sold.
True, yeah. I'm just guessing based on vibes.
No, I know, but what I mean is they stopped telling us, and now they tell us what the Cyber Sleuth series sold.
Hmm.
Which makes sense. As many the only places you could actually get the game separate, I believe, was the Western versions of the game on Vita and PS4.
But I just feel like if you got a bunch of fans to expect like $20 for two games, yeah, then $70 for one is going to be a hard pill to swallow.
I'm not willing to say it's too much yet because we don't know what it's actually going to be. Like, this is a very quick trailer. As much as everyone's, like, analyzing it, we know very little.
Right. Like, I guess I just have my natural level of expectations are low for a Digimon game, so I'm like, I assume it's not going to be the best thing.
You're not wrong. Yeah. I would rather be positive about the potential, though. Because...
I just want new Digimon.
Like, here's the thing. I can complain about the textures, but these textures may be completely different in the game. This could be a rush trailer because they got a slot. The week they announced this game, Bandai announced like 3 or 4 different games. Almost any of them could have gotten that slot in State of Play. So I'm staying positive. I have some concerns about the textures and shading is my main concern.
My main concern is that the Olympus 12 are named after Latin version, the Roman gods, and the god grade forms of the Atmon are named after Greek gods, except for one of them that's Deusmon, which is the Latin word for god in general. So
what the fuck is consistency?
So what you're saying is Atmon aren't in this game.
Well, Deusmon, I guess, would fit because it's a Latin name.
And then we'll have plenty more to talk about Time Stranger, and I expect we will invite Jeff to talk about some of it. But hey,
I'd be excited.
We knew when Digimon Con was. They've announced a lineup of stuff. We'll go over this quickly because we still have tons more to go over. We knew they were going to show off the music video Digimon Adventure Beyond. They're going to give us some sort of updates on Time Stranger.
So is Beyond debuting in Digimon Con, or is it coming out right before?
Yes. Okay. It is a music video directed by Kakuno. A number of people have gotten the idea that it's going to be like a short OVA or something. We're talking like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's super short, I guess. Yeah. If that's what you consider an OVA.
And it doesn't help that it feels like story elements that have not been announced, people are passing on, like, we're going to see how they get back Agumon and Gabumon. And I don't believe that's ever been said. Yeah. I could be wrong, but I don't think it has. Godzilla versus Digimon, they're going to formally announce the toy that's been teased.
I am so fucking hyped for this.
I am too. I'm looking forward to it more than the Monster Hunter one just came out, because that is a Digimon toy, but there's almost no Digimon in it. The only ones in it are the two collaboration ones you can unlock. Here, it feels like it's going to be more versus, for lack of a better term.
Gimme.
They're going to announce card game stuff. It feels like people are really focusing on the new project announcement and keep going. They're going to announce a follow-up to Liberator.
Probably going to announce like tournament dates and prizes and new cards.
Well, I feel like product information covers new cards.
I feel like I don't think like it's like Liberator is going to be over and there's going to be a new Liberator, because I feel like there's still plenty of
places for Liberator. See, I thought they announced that it was going to run for a year originally.
I don't think so.
I don't remember that.
I may be imagining it because like Seekers they did. So I may be projecting. They announced something new for Digimon Comic. I hope it's going to continue in some form. I really do.
That would delight me, because I've been really enjoying all the different takes.
I would love them to fix the scheduling, though, instead of doing 5 comics once every 3 months.
It's weird because like, if I think of it as like a little manga anthology, it's like, okay, I mean, that is how it is, a little manga magazine. But something about it just like too much Digimon at once.
Yeah, I would love to. And then special concert. No shock there. The concerts are always good. And then under goods, Digimon Adventure 02 20th anniversary goods and latest goods introduction. They're not going to make the mistake they did last time, where last time they said it was going to be a 25th anniversary Digivice, and it still surprised everyone because I don't think anyone expected what it was. So I think everyone's crossing their fingers for really fancy D3.
Hopefully they make more stock of this one.
While they did do multiple pre-order waves, I think everyone who got in a pre-order in the period they stated did end up getting it, I think. And then 5th anniversary of Kizuna. People heard that and a lot of people like freaked out, because it does not feel like 5 years to a lot of people. I think we spoke enough about Kizuna 5 years ago that we don't need to go over it, but wow.
The past time is cruel.
Yeah. And that's also where people, like, they haven't solved the problem. It's like, it's weird because it has only been 5 years. Then, let's see what's up next. Some Beyond stuff. So we got to see the full color art from the Cassette Project. Jeff, do you know anything about the Cassette Project?
No, I know.
Okay, so.
An image.
You know, various companies, how they've tried to do wilder advertising lately? Often doing weird crowdfunding stuff to like figure out how interested people are in weird stuff. They did a small crowdfunding campaign to do a giant cassette wall where people will just be able to walk up and get cassettes of a new version of Braveheart.
I'm confused. Wait, so
what it sounds like.
No, go ahead. Ask your question.
It's just
Jeff.
A physical wall covered in physical cassette tapes. And you just take one and go.
And they're free? Are people paying?
No.
Okay.
They were funded for by crowdfunding.
See, here's the thing. The funding probably is not really from the crowdfunding. That's probably more attention, because most of the crowdfunding money is going to go to the rewards.
Wait, where is this wall going
to
be?
One sec. Let me go to the original, because they actually updated later on to say they're actually doing 3 of them around Tokyo.
And I'm about to go to Tokyo.
Okay, one second. Let me... Wait. Okay. The 3 locations are, if I can find it... Okay, Shinjuku, Nagoya, and Osaka.
How long is it running? Is it going to be like, we open it and now they're all gone in one day?
They said there were going to be security guards to make sure it was done properly. Like, no one's running up and just, you know, sliding them
off.
They
won't be cleared like Pokemon cards. Yeah.
Did they announce the actual date yet? 1 second. It's, what were the plans?
I'm seeing something that says that, like, until the 28th.
For 1 week in March.
Huh.
Yeah, so...
Okay, well, I'll look into this later, because I'm going to be in Tokyo. I'm going to be in Japan for 2 weeks in March. So
one thing that apparently did confuse people was when they put up the project for the crowdfunding website's Campfire, which is one used in Japan for various projects. I guess because... And I think this was a language thing. A number of people outside Japan thought all the rewards were actually using the sketch line art that was being there. So when color art went up, people got very surprised. It was like, no, that was just what the artist had ready. And we also get to see the Digimon Adventure Beyond logo, which it's interesting. They're going back to the classic adventure logo, just with different colors. And Beyond looks very pixely. But yes, Jeff. Yeah, I like how Jeff's very interested in trying to grab one of the cassettes now.
And wait, are they like a normal cassette that needs a cassette player? Or is it like
yes? No. Yep. And in fact, one of the things that also upset people was, Jeff, what do you know about cassettes nowadays?
I mean, I assume no one's making them.
So no one makes good ones. Functionally, you find a cassette player, and that's what it is. So you can get the way I liken it to is, are you buying a can badge or are you buying how a can badge looks?
Can badges don't look good though.
No, but you know what I mean though. You're buying it to get a style of can badge with art or whatever. It's like a 5 cent thing. It's not. Yeah. So some people are like, the price of the reward cassette player is too much. It's a scam. No, you're buying like a shelf piece. So there are cassette. I mean, let me put it this way, Jeff. I can show you the cassette player they're using without Digimon theming. You can buy it for like $15.
I'm still confused. Is this like a reward just for people who did the crowdfunding?
No, the rewards are completely disconnected from the wall.
I see. Okay.
The one difference is because there were some legitimate gripes, and one of the gripes was that in the cassette project, you did not get the cassette from the wall. You would get cassettes themed after the chosen children, but not. So they were making 8 cassettes for that, but you would not get the 9th cassette, which was at the wall. They changed it so no matter what you're giving, any amount, you get one of those cassettes.
Do I see? No.
It's a little complicated.
Yeah.
It is actual cassettes. It is not like a plastic thing that looks like a cassette. It has a new version of Braveheart on it. I will be buying the digital single and not worrying about the cassette. That is my thought on it. And they also showed off the cassette project in V-Jump and Terrymon Assistance crying over it. See, Jeff, this is where it's good timing for you to be on the show. Do you know why? V-Jump, a month ago, it was the first time they got rid of the O2 theme from the movie.
Oh.
They had been running the V-Jump O2 theme for a year and a half after the movie came out.
Huh.
Okay, moving on from that. Jeff, have you kept up with the news from GOG?
Oh, boy. I thought there hadn't been anything.
There hasn't been, except in the... There's been nothing worth me writing an article about, because if I wrote an article about it, it would seem mean, because people are very upset that I'm not, like, rah-rah about it, where I'm like, I buy from GOG all the time. I know their policies deeply, because I love retro games. And what people want is not going to happen. And they did an interview about the Dream List, where they're being asked about stuff, and they're like, oh yeah, we don't emulate games. These are PC ports outside of DOSBox usage, which is why, you know, people getting, you know, happy about Resident Evil, Dino Crisis. Those are great ports based on the PC versions.
So are they, the thing that I'm confused about this whole thing is like, are they actually based on feedback from this wishlist feature going to be engaging licensing games?
So, yes and no. It is a long-standing community wishlist feature. They have renamed and rebranded it to make it sound more ethereal and positive. And to be fair, some of the GOG wishlist stuff in the past has led to easier conversations. The problem is GOG does not port games.
Mm-hmm.
They take existing PC games and do compatibility layers and tweaks and blah, blah. And if you know anything about Digimon World, the only one of those games that has a PC port is the first one in Korea. And anyone I know who's knowledgeable about Digimon games says that game is a nightmare.
Yeah, so it seems like doomed on both fronts, both the licensing angle and
here's
technical.
Here's the thing. It's doomed in that aspect. I do really think at some point Bandai will do emulated ports in a set or, you know, mild port upgrades. I think that's reasonable. I don't think it'll be on GOG because despite...
That's not what they do.
Yeah. Like, here's the thing. If Bandai does them, GOG will put them on their store if they want to, but Bandai has very little on GOG. It's just not a platform they've chosen to deal with.
That's why I've been kind of conflicted about, like, I think this community movement is a good signal for Bandai to see
and then
affect their plans, but they already knew that
people wanted it. No, and here's the thing. Habu's not there anymore, so what he says doesn't necessarily matter, minus that anything he had planned was a company plan. He said that they were aware people wanted Digimon World. The holdup at the time was him deciding, should it be a basic port, should it be a remaster, should they just say fuck it and remake the game from scratch? They already know we want Digimon World.
But yeah, I mean, even if they know, like, it always helps to have more signals, but I don't think it's the most productive way to give that signal. So.
No, and that's why, so when the votes were going up, GOG, because, you know, this is marketing for them, they're like, yeah, Digimon fans, rah, 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 rah. And people have noticed that since then, they have not actually followed up on that rah, 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 rah. But they did it for Breath of Fire 4 and have since then more messages about Breath of Fire 4. And I got a couple questions going, well, why? And here's why. Breath of Fire 4 has had a PC port in the US.
PC port?
Yes. And they've worked with Capcom on upgrading old PC ports before. So,
it's like, oh, look, it's in their wheelhouse.
Yeah. No, see, I think Bandai will do something. It's not going to be this. Now, if Bandai's smart, they'll do the same thing they did last time, and they will lie and say that that part of doing it was because of this. Because last time Bandai said that, they said that 3 or 4 years after something came out, and when the original goal of the petition never happened. But they're like, yeah, we definitely didn't have a game 6 months before that convinced them it was the petition.
Yeah, another reason that I am just, like, sitting on the sidelines, kind of frustrated seeing the community kind of like piling onto this whole thing was that, like, for 7 years I worked at Viz Media and tried from the inside to get VTamer 01 licensed by Viz. It would have been so great. And I tried really hard from the inside, and, like, I knew, because I read every customer support email, like, how no one, that was the channel that people would ask things to be licensed. And I would see, like, tons of things being requested as licenses. No one, I think, like, I could count on one hand in 7 years, and I think it was, like, less than three. And, like, if there had actually been a community movement around that for that kind of...
I mean, they're owned by the publisher. That would have been the easiest one if people had rallied.
Right, like, any company could license it, but, like, Viz basically has a right of first refusal from which to waste your product, so, like, they have the best... licensing arrangements, so, like, they any publisher you could really campaign around getting them to do it, but Viz is the most likely.
But
I knew that I could not coordinate that campaign myself because it would just be seen as, like, well, we already know that Jeff wants to do this. But, like, it's just frustrating to see, like, that was something where I knew that a low volume of people sending things directly could actually make a direct impact and could have gotten
because you, here's the thing, most of these campaigns only, I say, go anywhere when you have people who can try to present themselves as experts and then puff themselves up about it. Like, you know how many people that I saw saying they're making YouTube videos about it, but they know nothing about the platform or what they do, and they're like, this is the best chance we have to do it. It's like, you know, that's not true. So, I think it's going to happen? Yes. Do I think it's going to happen because of this? No. I don't, and frankly, from the people I've talked to who are experts at Digimon games on PC, none of them are very excited at the prospect of the PC port of Digimon World being the thing, even if it's fixed up. So, yeah. Then, Terrymon Assistant Lab. Jeff, have you kept up with this at all?
No, I really want to, because everything I hear about it.
Oh, it's great. So for anyone who doesn't know, they've made Terrymon Assistant the quote-unquote Digimon Ambassador, where they have like a Terrymon VTuber going over stuff on a weekly basis. So this time there was Digimon Adventure 02 quiz, a quiz about either or, like which does he like better, which would he rather do, and then him nitpicking the Digimon game trailer, and also a small exclusive clip. There's also a new one, but it wasn't subtitled last time I looked, so we'll go over that when Jeff isn't there, but I'm very excited for that one. I won't spoil it too much, but he goes over Battle Spirit. And then, we knew they were going to somehow publish everyone singing Butterfly at the Wada Koji tribute concert. They're actually doing a 3-disc set of everything from the concert, including a Blu-ray of some rare Wada Koji music videos and stuff. The track list is great. I'm not going to go over it in detail, but really good track list.
It all looks so good.
Yeah. Like, look, when you can go through, you can be like, Hironobu Kageyama was there. Masaki Endo was there. Volcano Oda was there. Just person after person singing Wada Koji music. Mm-hmm. I already pre-ordered the disc because I'm looking forward to that. And then me and Dev need to stretch. This is the card time.
Card pocket.
Yeah. No. Jeff may have more to say. He will have to be careful, though, because we're already late. So first up, Telmon Gatomon. Really good painted art.
Let's read every single word on each card.
I will choke. I will kill you. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so Telmon Gatomon. Really beautiful art.
Okay, actually, there is a new development in these cards that Gatomon says until their turn ends instead of until the end of their turn, which seems to be a clarification for how buffs and debuffs last until the turn actually ends instead of end of turn trigger timing. That's my little...
For anything where you do have a side thing, please do stop us from moving on, though. As then we get Sora, Hikari, Taichin, Koshiro. We've seen these. We've not seen good previews of them, though. I like that the last few years, they've really stepped up the anime art. The quality of it, I mean.
Yeah, it's still very weird that there's like no artist credited, but...
It's officially the actual Toei marketing team. There is no singular artist. They've interviewed the person in charge of this team at Digimon Partners. It is an actual team. There is no person to credit, as far as I'm aware. I'm sure some of them are one person, but yeah. I do think when it's a team, they should credit the team somehow, though.
Yeah, it's just a weird, blank. It's made by no one.
But don't worry, Jeff. At least you weren't here when we went over the Tamers Christmas products with the worst art we ever saw. We still mock it. Piomon/Biomon, gorgeous art. It really looks good. I mean, this is like one of the high point cards of the set, I think.
I love the eyes and like the watercolor look to everything.
Yeah. Bergermon. That is a good version of Meteor Wing.
Very powerful effect too. Behind it really helps everything pop out in the center.
I don't think I noticed that was the moon at first, to be honest. I think like, because you know, sometimes you're trying to post stuff. I think I lose track of that sort of thing sometimes. Garudamon also looks good. I have less to say about this one. Minus, does it feel like the body slimmer than normal?
Yeah, I guess a little bit.
That might just be the pose.
I think it's just because like the torso is kind of like stretched out a little more.
That makes sense.
Usually it's a little more like condensed.
Then we get
Agumon in a certain poses. You're like, oh my god, the illusion breaks down. Why is he a twig at his hips? But one thing that I think is really cool about these cards that might not be obvious, people don't play the card game, is that they are. I think this is my own personal theory, like representing a different approach to how they handle the power level of starter deck cards versus booster cards, where like traditionally
are you allowed to call them that?
What do you mean?
I thought card game players refuse to say starter deck and they go, it's a structure deck.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Yeah. because like the structure decks are like, they're fine to start off with, but like they're never very competitive until you splash in the booster cards. And because like the power levels are typically just like slightly lower in the starter deck. Like if you look back at the like early tamers, and it would be like, here's TK in the starter deck. He sucks and no one plays him. TK in the booster set still played 5 years later. But this is, I think, is a new design philosophy where like the starter deck cards are as powerful, like especially the Garudamon, or sorry, the Bergemon one and the Garudamon are both really good. And it's just that they're more archetype locked than the ones in the booster set that we're getting revealed kind of simultaneously.
Yeah.
So it's a cool idea.
Speaking of TK, we also get a Mimi and Joe card and a TK and Matt card.
That's adorable.
And this is the first TK and Matt, I believe?
You know what? I was going to say no, but thinking about it, I honestly don't know. I think you're right, though.
Yeah, I think so.
Angemon showing that ass.
Look, this is a classic Escher girl's boobs and butt post. Like, his tits and his ass cheeks are facing the same
direction. All I remember is when I posted it, I immediately posted the Simpsons gif of the wearing nothing at all.
Yeah, this they must have known what they were doing.
It's hard to tell sometimes, honestly. I like the Palmon art, though. Sorry,
the fact that Patamon in, I forget what set it was recently, was doing the similar kind of looking back over his butt pose is just like, someone has an agenda.
See, I think that pose was actually in Frontier, though.
Oh, really? Did he actually do that?
Because I want to say the background was actually from, was it one of the Frontier EDs? I think that shot was from somewhere in the show, and the background was from an end theme or something. Like,
right, the background looked very familiar in that one.
Yeah. Palmon card looks great. I honestly have very little to say about this one because I just really like it.
The colors are very nice.
Yes. Togemon gets the most awesome desk shot I've seen in a while from these cards. Although I can't tell Togemon if Togemon is jumping or if Togemon's like trying to balance on a rock.
I thought it was like mid-punch.
Oh, if he's jumping, then it's jumping off of a cliff face.
Maybe. And then we get Lilymon. See, it looks like she's trying to water the flowers, but that doesn't really make sense next to a little pond.
Yeah.
V-Jump also went over various starter stuff, mostly focusing on the cards of the kids, which makes sense. Then Limited Card Pack 5, Final Lesion, also gets previews. So, the new cards are going to be a box topper pack for booster set 21 in the US. I don't think we know where all the color border cards are going to show up yet, though.
It is so hard to keep track of these things.
I stopped paying attention to the English release of the card game, not out of anything to prioritize the Japanese version. But when they put the cards up, it was easier to keep track of the way they listed the Japanese cards. Because, like, if something was in a box pack, originally the Japanese version listed them with the booster set, and the English site listed them with promo cards. So when I had very little time, it was not worth my effort trying to unwrap that. So these are all the same. So some of these are the same. So like Gilmon is the same card with a red border. Magna Garurumon, same card with yellow and blue border. I still love that art, though, honestly.
Yeah.
Shoutmon or Drulu Cannon. I think this was a promo card. Yeah, I can see the number. I think this was from a battle pack. Darkdrumon Ace is a new card, I'm pretty sure.
I don't recognize that exact pose.
That is a good pose, though.
It is a new card, but I think it had been like teased earlier as like a really low quality image or something.
They've been doing that a lot lately, so it would not shock me if you're correct and I just don't remember. Shoutmon King is reprint with color border. It's still so weird for them to treat him as a different Digimon. I understand why, but it's like Shoutmon has a scar. Then Terramon. Let's see. Future Potential is an existing card with new art. Am I wrong, or is this like the fourth or fifth version of this card we've gotten in a year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was the one this was the one announced as coming with the Digivice. And I swear that we got two or three parallel cards of the card before the Digivice was in anyone's hands. Am I wrong, or is that a different card? It's this card, right?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure this is the card that came with the Digivice, and it used the balloon art.
That wasn't the first way it was released, though.
That was the first way it was announced. It wasn't the first way it was released. I think the first way it was released was as a battle pack using the profile art of the seven partners, I think.
Oh, wait, yeah. The standard, like, canonical artwork for it is the balloons.
Okay, that was the first one announced. It wasn't the first one that came out, I think.
Yeah.
And then I believe this is the one where they loopholed Haru into the anime pack.
Yeah, yeah.
Where there was no Haru card, so they used this and they put him on it.
Yeah, there was a couple months there where lots of memes of Atmon will never be in the card game, so this is his future potential. And
the Vikemon art's good. I like it. You know what's weird? Does this weirdly look like old Magic the Gathering art?
Kind of.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Juan Kuman and Fake Jury get color border cards. Sometimes with the white color border cards, I have to look carefully to realize they're color borders.
Yeah.
The gray does not mesh well. Valkyriemon. Yeah, okay, I'm not. This is a new one, right? Some of these I posted a while ago. I think they posted a preview of it, like low resolution, but I believe the card is new. I mean, Okay, good art. I love the lighting. Oh, the two most exciting cards to get recolors of, Pawn Device and Rook Device.
Oh yeah, everyone's, I hear it from like every player who like hasn't even played the card game, like they just play Magic all day, they really care about Pawn Device and Rook Device.
My favorite is it uses the art from the original card game and they just keep doing new versions of it. Regular Kusmon, this is new art. We might have gotten a preview of it before, but this is new. I really like it. I love the little air water streams and the lightning.
Yeah.
Daisuke and Shadramana recolors.
This is another example of a tamer from one of the early booster sets that still sees play.
Yeah, it's funny. When we see the ones from basically year one, it's so old comparatively in the card game. I have to go, wait, is that new art or not? And I have to pull up the old card to check.
It's actually weird with these. I don't know how they decide for these cards that are reprints, because it was from year one, so it has originally had no block number. But I guess it got reprinted in block two, and now this is an upgraded version of that. So even though we're in block five now, it still says block two. But okay, I don't know.
I don't think people who use it will complain, but it is weird. Monomon gets a reprint with color border, and Rasilmon gets some really nice new art. With a tiny Ophanimon in the corner, if you look carefully.
It's kitty.
Let's see. Growmon / Growlmon. This is new. And this. So the weird thing about this, does it feel like the head they've specifically. Yes. Yeah, Dev knows what I'm going to say. Where they've specifically gone to the effort to make it look very much like the one from the anime rather than like different styling? That really feels like him from the anime. I like how Dev knew where I was going. Takato card preview. I love the series they've been doing of these where it's the nice anime art, and then we get the characters in the Digimon in profile with the color line art. I don't know what this Takato pose is, though. This is a bit too action-y for Takato.
I feel like Takato poses, like if you, especially because the Gallantmon deck is like pretty popular these days as of EX8, even more popular once V2.5 comes out in the States. But anyway, there's like these like five different Takato cards, and it's all like slightly different, like ways he's angling his arm or not. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
Then we get Flamon / Flamon. This one has interesting gloss shine. Does it weirdly feel like it should be a promo card or a promo image of the character rather than a card? It feels like it's trying. It feels like
he is very.
You know what it is? It feels like it's trying to sell me a Frontier manga.
It looks like someone went a little nuts with a dodge tool.
And then Aldemon. There's a lot of metallic effects here, which I don't always associate with Aldemon, but I like it. That is very shiny. Takuya. Weirdly, this feels like a Takuya pose to me. Unearned coolness.
He's trying to show me.
Koromon blowing bubbles, always nice. Rise, Greymon gets a. Am I weird, or does it feel?
I love this one.
So does it feel like Rise Greymon's in like a Lethal Weapon movie or something?
Yes, it's like, and this is my boomstick.
I was about to retire from the force. Masaru slash Marcus. I wish I had more to say, but isn't this just like exactly Masaru Marcus? Like there is no,
yeah,
there's punching, nothing to say about, maybe. Yeah, punch. Omega Shoutmon.
Like, I'm going to punch you in the face, and then he punches you.
So this one I like, but it's also kind of boring for Omega Shoutmon. He's punching gold. And yeah. Taiki, that's very, that it's is very much, that yes, that is a Taiki pose. Very much so. Arrested German Superior Mode. This is one that I feel like I've seen people debating if it's better or worse than the other one, and I still don't quite know. I like it.
There is the colors behind it.
There's something weird about the look to it that I can't say.
I'm just bummed out because like the effect of the BT-12 Superior Mode one was very, very good, and this one's like, eh.
And then everyone's favorite Digimon hero, Tagaru.
I'm only here for Gumdramon.
He exists.
Everyone's here. Pretty good. Everyone's here for Gumdramon. Gurimon gets some of the coolest art in the set. Him on the slide looking up.
He's so fucking cute. I want to cuddle the poor little bastard.
Hannah Weissmon, I like. It has a lot of detail. It's stylized nicely. It's a bit too busy for me, honestly.
Yeah. With all the effects in the front of it and all the effects in the behind, and it's just
a little too much. Hero gets a very nice card. Although, am I wrong, or does Gamamon kind of look fucky?
He just looks a little stoned.
I think what it is like, doesn't he need like some overbite or underbite or something? It's like too clean.
He's just staring straight ahead. I'm excuse
to be,
fa- to, him
to, be fair, to be fair, they're all staring straight ahead on those.
He should be weird. A little more exuberant.
Where Gurumon? I don't think I've seen a single complaint about this Where Gurumon art.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's good. Everyone also fell in love with this Swipemon art.
Oh, yeah.
I will say, am I wrong, or did they try to do like a super deformed Gatchmon, which I think is actually taller proportions than normal Gatchmon?
Oh, is it?
Like, look at the body, like the bean shape. I think that makes him taller than Gatchmon.
I just like how they put all the different Swipemons, and it's like, as a colorblind person, I'm like, I guess this is the blue one, which is a green card? I don't know what's going on.
Hey, at least they finally started putting symbols for the colors, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, actually knowing the color identity of the card, simple. Knowing the lore of what Atmon this is, I have no idea.
Calendamon? I found out from this art that there's something about Calendamon that not a lot of people knew, which was that he has eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Because I commented on the eyes on it, and people are like, I never noticed that. Because he just kind of has, like, two little purple balls.
Like, so, oh, shit, those are eyes.
Sumimon!
It exists.
Yeah, I have nothing negative to say about it. I just don't have much. It's nice. Also, Venmon, am I wrong? Or does the art style not quite match the art style of the background?
Yeah, I think
that's because it's almost like 3D model-ish, and then the background is more like painted.
See, I was going to say, it almost looks like they've added light to like a flat style art for him. But then you get a background with like lots of detailing and dirt and stuff. It's kind of odd. I don't dislike it. It's just odd. Fladramon, Flamedramon looks like it looks like what people think O2 looks like. Like, because in everyone's head, cartoons and anime always look nicer in your head than they do in reality.
Then when you go back and watch, it's like, oh.
Yeah,
oh.
This feels like it's ripping out of the memory, and they also do the same with Lydramon. Although I feel like...
The pose is so cool.
The proportions on Lydramon, does it feel like it should be longer? I mean, it might just be the perspective throwing me off.
I think it's the perspective.
It's the perspective, because it's like kind of like resting right at you, so it looks really foreshortened.
The weird thing, though, about Lydramon is his hand is very veiny on his left paw.
Don't think I noticed that. I did notice kind of similar, not veininess, but like a weird little detail on Betelgeuse-mon. Like, I love the art. I love the reflection of the stars in the water. The level of detailing on his face kind of creeps me out a little bit, though.
He's looking so soulful.
And then we get Galuskamon being very upset as he eats apples.
Yeah. Doing the typical.
Like, he thought it was going to be a Honeycrisp, but it actually was a Red Delicious.
God, I thought of that same joke and didn't say it, because I'm like, this is too obvious. Pinocchiemon / Puppetmon Ace. I like it. I like how the lines feel like they stand out a bit, as he does Bullet Hammer. Am I wrong, or are the positions of his eyes kind of goofy when you look at the holes of his head?
Yeah.
They are.
Then we get Woodmon and Drymon / Cherrymon, and these are references to older art. Both of them are. Like the one with the watering can on Woodmon, and the others kind of playing hide-and-seek in Cherrymon. Those are prior art used in the original card game. This is just new versions of the art. Sangomon. I love him playing with the toy. I don't have anything else to say about it. I just like that.
So fucking cute.
Now, is anyone worried that Saver's Agumon is going to go splat?
He's playing Fortnite. He's diving into...
No. If he goes to burst mode, then he can fly.
How true. This card is pretty crazy. I know we're not really talking about the card game mechanics, but like...
Marcus... I don't know. If there's something specifically of note, feel free.
Because this card's effect is that it can digivolve right into, it can warp into a level 6 for 4 memory, which is a lot of memory normally, but BT-12 Marcus, when it suspends, can digivolve for free, so you can just pay 1 memory, have Marcus attack, and then have Agumon go right into Shine Greymon for free.
So that's he crazy. Won't go splat, you're saying?
Yeah, ironically.
And then, Shine Greymon. I think the high point of this is the fire effect from the swinging the sword.
Yeah.
And like I know saying that sounds weird when there's like really nice art of the Digimon, but for some reason I love the fire kind of like framing the card.
Yeah, like the art of the Shine Greymon itself is good, but it's like normal.
It's Shine Greymon.
That actually feels unique to the card.
And then we get a very anime-esque Shoutmon also falling. Although I will say I love these Starmon and Pikmons just making their same faces always. And then this was also in the starter deck, booster set was also in V Jump. That they focused on Atmon, which were cards we've already seen.
I'm so excited seeing people excited for Atmon, and
I would be more.
I've never even considered watching the show.
I would be more excited if people would buy Atmon stuff so they would do more Atmon stuff to buy. Anytime there's Atmon stuff, we see it just sitting there for months when I look online at places. That poor Offmon plush they made.
The Yotadama.
They made that thing 2 years ago, and I swear, I don't think places have ever sold out of it.
Look, whenever I go to conventions, I always look for any kind of Digimon merch, and guaranteed there's just a shit ton of those little fucking Appmon blind boxes. Just a ton of them.
It is Jeff's job when he goes to Japan to buy an Offmon plush for himself.
Is it my job to just buy one or to buy all of them? Buy all of them in stock?
I don't want to make that joke, because then you'll pull up a picture with like 50 of them in stock. episode of Card Battle, there's actually been a second one, I just haven't done an article for it yet, where they go over a match and previews of LMO5. I really do think, though, with the timing of everything syncing up, they really need to start doing English subtitles of this.
It would be helpful and a good promotion.
Yeah. And moving on from cards, Kaiser Greymon Amplified Model Kit.
Did this only
get... It looks badass, but I'm
sorry,
not gonna
sorry, what was that, Jeff?
Is this only in the last 2 weeks? I feel like this has been...
No, this... We had never had any... People kept saying they wanted one. We only found out about this last week.
I guess I'm confusing because there was also the...
Are you thinking about Shine Greymon?
No, I'm thinking of the comment, that the tweet that was like, please buy it.
Oh, no, that was Azmaria like a week ago.
Yeah. No, it wasn't Azmaria.
You're thinking of Masashi Harada?
Yeah,
that was a week ago.
Okay.
Jeff, have you lost sense of time?
Yeah. I'm in Agumon Paradox.
This is out in September for about 6,000 yen. That's about $40 right now. I'm looking forward to seeing And... last time an Anniverth store closed, they've announced another one's opening, and I had to check the locations because I was confused. Do you know why?
Because it's right across the street, apparently.
It's across the street from the first limited base store, which is what turned into Anniverth. by the time Annabirth existed, that store was closed, but it's the across the street, and it's actually considered the annex of the location. The annex was where the limited base was. This is going to be in the main Parco in Ikebukuro. So more place to buy Digimon stuff.
Cool.
Then V-Jump also went over something that came up last time, Jeff, which was a number of 100 yen stores are getting a bunch of Digimon Adventure products.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Like, a lot of nice stuff. The one thing that we point out, though, is there's a 100 yen carabiner, which is clearly acrylic. Please use that for style, not actually as a carabiner.
Yeah, that's not going to be functional, whether for carrying keychains or grocery bags, and definitely not your own weight.
Yeah, please don't. Then, let's see. We have poll results. The official poll of part two of favorite Digimon added to the reference book in 2024, and Dinomon went with it, which I think Dev called when they put up this poll.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the lineup of Digimon from this half, there's ones that I like, but none are really punchy.
And then you have one that's basically a fan favorite.
It's
plus Godzilla.
What I like though, people kept going, this is proof that people like Tyrannomon, and no, it's not. It's proof that people love Agumon evolutions.
I'm surprised that I don't know how you really pronounce it, but that Pyramidimon didn't do better.
So I think the issue there is that it's a nice design, but it's a nice design behind designs that are easier to look at.
Also, Scottimon is evil because it got me playing Fake Grand Order again.
I honestly thought Scottimon would do better.
Yeah, but it's not waifu, so.
I mean, yeah, I guess after Dinomon, it's waifu, dinosaur thing,
deer,
mecha, pyramid. Yeah. And then the overall results, there's nothing super wild here because outside of the leads from Liberator, which I can see arguments either way how good those designs are, and I've seen them, the arguments, I think Dinomon was the easy winner for the overall results.
I'm surprised that people, I haven't seen any backlash to the name, just like after having like Tyrannomon, Master Tyrannomon, Metal Tyrannomon and stuff, it's like Dino. Meh. Like, it's not like
there was backlash originally because people didn't like the eye.
Oh,
I see. Because I think they were, I think a couple Japanese pages translated as D-Y-N-O at first.
Mm-hmm.
I think, though, is just getting big Godzilla Digimon. People just went, good enough. I will bypass my complaints. And the new poll, favorite final boss from a Digimon anime movie, OVA, or CGI feature?
Congrats to Diablomon.
See, I think, though, the more interesting one, though, is who do you think will be second and who do you think will be last? I think I can get it down to two. I think it's going to be Algumon or Murmurkusumon.
I think Argumon, whatever, has a bit of a boost from
The TV show. Reboot. I forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an adventure. Oh.
I forgot.
Is Murmurkusumon the frontier one?
Yes.
Yeah, that one little.
Because I think Golfmon looks cool enough that he gets some votes just from that.
But he didn't really do much. I feel like Armagemon is going to be second.
Well, remember, these aren't actually who is the most pop. Who do you think is the best movie villain? It's going to be a lot of people and going, oh, that's a cool design.
But also nostalgia, so.
And there's only two waifus this time, and I don't know that I believe either will rank high.
Unless there is some very specific things, I don't think the waifus are going to be very high on this.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I'm trying to decide where I think, if it were normal Ukumon, I actually think it would rank well. I don't know big Ukumon's going to do that well, though.
I think it's going to be like at least the lower 25%.
Okay. And then it is turbo mode as we go through various weekend batches, okay? So 1 second as I load these up. Ghost Game pop-up shop at EO, they've been showing some of the photo spots they have. They put up sample photos of the cassettes and the cassette player from the cassette project. I actually think they came out looking really nice, honestly.
I really like the cassettes.
Photos from the end of Miyazaki's 25th anniversary tour in Japan. Photos from him. Kakuto was at the last show also, put up photos. And then as Digimon Comic was up, artist from Digimon Knuckle put up the cover art. That's good cover art, honestly. We got production art from... I always want to say his name is Slimy, and it's because of the way it's spelled. His sample of his art of the characters from The Seekers. Plus, did you see the thank you art that he started posting in response for people reading it?
It's fucking amazing.
Lugamon holding a rose and a heart. Tenya Yabuno posting a full color version of the dance.
Victory dance.
Ayumi Minato posted few pieces of new art to celebrate Paradox. His art's good. I'm glad he's relaxing a bit. There were a few points where we were getting 6 to 10 new pieces of art from him a week. While he was doing the comic.
He was excited.
He really was. I'm glad he's not, because he was taking requests from people. Like, who do you guys want to see? Someone requested him. It's like, I will not say no to new art. I'm slightly worried that you're stressing yourself out, though. A bit. Wawaga Gag, who does Recollection. First, we get Bizubumon and Lalamon.
I love the Lalamon.
It looks very, good. Riko with a number of Digimon. The coloring style really makes her eyes stand out. Terrormon with Lalamon. I love the random Lalamons in the art. And then Riko with Terrormon and Wendemon. With a note saying that it's Valentine's Day, so here's Chocomon-chan.
Oh.
Card game art, which is Happy Valentine. I just like the art. Yuki giving Arisa, like, freaking out. I enjoy getting art like this. Then we get art from Usagi Boch, who does all the writing for the web novel and the comic. And I think does the art for the comic, too. Tomo 01, who does the cover images. That is a really creepy Imperial Dramon.
Yeah.
Really creepy.
As he should be.
And then Valentine. Sorry, go ahead.
What the heck is it? It's giving me Gurren Lagann vibes.
I can see that. Valentine's Day art of Lady Devimon and Yuki Darumon making chocolates. And also, that Mommymon ice cream maker, I've seen someone use the generic one. Because the one that I've seen more is the one where you put on your foot and swing it around.
What?
You guys haven't?
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a little thing where you put some ice, salt, and like ice cream mix in it, and then you just basically play with it.
It's like a heavy thing where you swing on one foot, and you have to like move your other foot in time before you crack yourself in the leg.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's a toy from the 90s.
Yes.
I see.
Then we get some art from the second weekend. A few images of new stock stuff in a few shops like Annabirth and the Toei Museum. Miyazaki showing off images of him and the band going to Shanghai for a concert.
Nice.
More art from another. These are all from the comic, so not new. These are him showing off the fancy color pages and noting they're all Metal Empire. I'd like them. As Maria showed off new artwork from Kaiser Greymon, the left image is just a Shikishi style art he did. The right one is one he said he actually didn't get permission because it's actually early development art of the model kit.
Ooh.
Am I wrong? Does that look like, I don't want to say more metallic, but it looks different.
It's very shiny and very saturated.
Yes. Then, this is someone we don't always hear from. And Mitsu Okada, who did the art for Lynx, showed off the various Hina cards from the card game. They lined up all three for a commemorative photo, and they mentioned that the newest one, they were sent a sample of it, card of it, which they did the art for. Yeah, it is funny how he keeps popping up to do the art, and every time, I love seeing Terrymon in his art. More card game art. I don't know why them being formal announcers is so amusing to me. It's just,
yeah, these little gag one panel reaction things are really great.
I've been enjoying them. Seiho 917 put up arc to celebrate the new Liberated novels, they do the illustrations for the novels, which is weird because these look nothing like the art. Without the shading, I actually like the art better this way, I think. Usagi Bochi put up some art of Hackmon, and when people asked for it clean, he realized why people wanted it clean, so he actually reframed the black border when he removed the text so it would come out nice for a wallpaper.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, people are going, oh, do you have a clean one? And he understood why people wanted it, so he actually even said he changed the black border framing so it would work better on mobile devices.
Like, we know you want this for your phone lock screen.
Yep. Okay, chat, time for questions if you have them. Once they were sent ahead to him, someone said, since it's almost over, how do you think the 25th anniversary of Digimon Adventure went? I think it was good as long as you were willing to accept that every anniversary does not need an anime announced. That being said, I probably should hold off that opinion until after Beyond comes out, because it feels like they're teasing something.
Sometimes they just use that opportunity to pull more shit out.
I just feel exhausted by anniversaries because
they're nonstop, like, for Digimon, basically.
But yeah, Adventure 02, Tamer's Frontier. It's always an event. It's always an anniversary year of something.
Well, the Frontier one's the most stressful. Do you know why?
No.
Frontier anniversary year is also franchise anniversary.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. Devin in chat, question for Jeff. What do you think about the morality of Purple Hybrid? I find a deck where you loop Koichi offing himself as Velcron over and over and over is disgusting and gross, and they find it immoral.
From a like meta standpoint, the fact that it dominates a little too much is, playing against it is kind of frustrating and annoying. So I think that's totally fair. And thematically, I go back and forth on it because it's like, it is kind of making light of like Koichi's sacrifice and death as a gameplay mechanic, but it does it in a pretty cool way. And also, he replays himself at the end, so like he doesn't really die. He like just kind of reverts back to being a tamer, which is pretty cool.
Oh, and Tiny Iron Fist asked, how big is Gatchmon supposed to be compared to Agumon? Gatchmon, if you don't count the points on his helmet, I believe his helmet reaches up to about Agumon's mouth, the top of his helmet. So he's shorter, but yeah, I think that's.
I mean, Gatchmon is like. Was like riding a toddler bike thing.
Yes.
Why did Haru have a toddler bike?
To be fair, we don't know if, because remember, Gatchmon's a search engine. He could have just found it.
True.
Now, what's better is
he commandeered it from some small child.
He stole it. Yeah.
Then someone said, I saw Mark mentioning the SNL anniversary special. What do we think of it? And also, what SNL sketches have you guys enjoyed over this? Did either of you watch it or no?
I have not.
I watched it. It was amazing.
Oh, it was fantastic. I really liked it.
Excellent editing.
Especially excellent editing, since apparently, because of the schedule and everyone doing it, they didn't do the rehearsal pass they normally do.
Oh.
Because I've also been seeing a bunch of stuff about the concert that was a day before. Is that worth watching in any form?
So I've only watched a few minutes of it just because I've been cartoonishly busy. Like, yeah. When I watched the thing, I watched it that night at 10 p.m., and then I went to bed at 1:30. Like, that's how busy I was, that I made time to watch that night a few hours. The concert, I have recorded and ready to watch. I just haven't had the time. I've heard it's amazing. Like, I've heard it's legitimately great. The only part of it that I've watched fully is the Lonely Island montage song, which was fantastic.
I saw clips of that. Okay. I saw clips of Robin singing that looked really good.
Okay, I guess what SNL sketches have you guys enjoyed? This is one we can all answer. I guess what is each of our favorites is the easiest one to answer.
Oh shit.
I feel like I'm kind of basic in the sense of like the ones that have gone the most viral. Like the original Domingo one. But also some of the like most of the things Bone Yang does. I mean,
I was just thinking mine's going to be really basic also, and I hope you don't say it, so keep going.
But also, I like have a bad memory for, like, I don't remember the actual classic stuff. Like, I only remember the more recent stuff. But also I forget what her actual name is. Is it Lisa? Lisa from Temecula? I think those are okay. My boyfriend goes crazy over it.
Okay, I'm going to go, this is the most basic cheat answer, but I love it every time they do it, and I think it's because I know they're only going to do it once or twice a year. When the current version of Weekend Update when it's the host doing joke swap.
Yeah.
That is where, before either the Christmas episode or the end of the year, the two hosts of Weekend Updates write a whole series of jokes for the other person to say, and they aren't shown what they are ahead of time.
That segment is always really good. I also kind of hate both Colin Jost and Michael Che, but I think it's still funny. Like, especially that segment is always really good.
Weekend Update has always been very strong. What was your basic one, Dev?
The Dear Sister one, where they're just like shooting each other.
Oh no, they do that in the concert, because that was one of the Lonely Island shorts. So yeah, they do that, and they pull out laser cats at the same time. I'll be honest, I always liked laser cats, and it always felt like I was the only one, but that's because it's baked into the thing that no one likes it. But yeah, I was perfectly up with those. Let's see. Jeff, someone said, this is for all of us, I guess. Do we think Bandai will end up putting a promo card in Time Stranger and screw over those of who plan to do it on Steam? They want the Steam version, blah, 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 the mods, blah, blah. I would fully expect the physical one to have some sort of promo card.
They want you to buy it.
But also, like, the Survive promo cards were, like, such non-impactful things.
Were there promo cards? I can't remember if there were promo cards in the actual game.
What I'm thinking of is the ones that were of the Survive characters. Yeah. I don't remember.
I remember they gave them away to E3. I don't remember if they were actually in the game in the US, at least. I remember
there being a thing where, like, you had to, like, mail in something or other, and then you get sent the cards, or...
Was there a mail-in thing? God, I have no memory of that. If they did that, I have no memory of that at all.
But the thing is, like, the Ukomon cards for the movie were so good they had to be restricted. So it's possible, like, they can either go either way in terms of, like, making cards essential or not.
So you're saying the greatest hero of the franchise was a random Ukomon card.
Yeah.
with the Kaiser Greymon model announced, what part of Digimon that doesn't have a kit yet would you like to see get what and when and what? So the reason I love this type of question is it always pops up right when they announce a new one. Every time. I think my answer is the same. I think it was the same answer I gave last time, which was Shoutmon X4. Was that I think that was my answer last time.
Yeah, I think it was a Shoutmon X4, and I said no, Shoutmon X4 Knight, because I want the shield.
No, I remember, and then I said, no, that will be the premium Bandai version that you have to spend extra on.
Yeah. Yep, they do that.
Jeff, what mystery thing from the from the annals of the franchise would you like to see?
I'm trying to think of a good answer off the top of my head. My first thought was Hexablau. But now, I don't know. It's not like that would not sell very well.
See, I feel like Hexablaumon, if you do it, it would be a remold of Dukemon.
Well, speaking of remold of Dukemon, I was also thinking of Medieval Gallimon, because that was on my mind, because it's been terrorizing the card game recently.
I don't know if I'd like an amplified kit of Medieval Dukemon, because it feels like Medieval Dukemon tends to work better slimmer, and the amplified kits, it feels like they have to be like big,
chunkier.
Yeah.
Next, their mechas. Yeah.
This is a question really tailored to Dev, because this is something Dev brought up a while ago, and it's come up multiple times since. They tried some flavored ginger ale, but they have not been able to find the green tea one Dev mentioned. They wanted to ask what other non-standard food or drinks we've tried as we have good ideas. I remember I never found the green tea one once Dev mentioned it, and I think Dev said it vanished.
Yeah, it's been gone for like almost a full year, and then I found some, but it was very heavily expired, and it's like,
So
maybe it might be like a seasonal thing. Hopefully they bring it back for summer.
So what I assume when they mean non-standard, they mean like non-standard flavors.
Kind of like a lot of cranberry mixes. Like the one that I like the most is kind of like the Ocean Spray Cran Peach.
Yeah, I've never liked cranberry flavor to me, honestly.
It's not super strong. It's more like, yeah, it has kind of like an apple juice kind of consistency, and it's like more peachy, but there's like a little bit of extra tartness in, but it's not intensely cranberry.
I'm trying to think what.
I feel like I've just recently been burned by trying slightly exotic versions.
Yeah, like, I feel like that happens a lot.
Like today, I just tried, like a week ago at the grocery store, I got this new, like, it's basically, I forget what brand it is, but it's normal chips, but Funyun flavored normal chips.
Oh, I think Lay's did that, didn't they?
That makes sense. But I've had it in the cupboard for like a week because I was like, I don't know. I'm curious. I finally tried it today and it's like horrible. But it's like horrible at first, and then it's just a sour cream and onion potato chip.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, none of it feels like a Funyun. So like it defeats the whole purpose.
Yeah, Funyun, it's
like you're in it for the flavor and the texture.
I was gonna say I haven't had a Funyun in years, so I may be wrong, but it always comes across as just being the flavor of the Funyun. Rather than it being a flavor. No, like, it's sort of like when you get a Dorito. It's a Dorito and there's flavoring on it. It's not the flavor of the Dorito itself.
Yeah, like the Funyun itself is like a vessel for powder.
Yeah, but the powder feels like it's part of the Funyun when you eat it.
Yeah. I also tried from Trader Joe's I love French onion soup. So I was like, French onion soup popcorn? Sure. It was horrible. Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm always torn on flavors like that because it's always like, especially stuff like popcorn, where it always is like, oh, this is a good idea. Is it?
Like,
I will cheat and steal the popcorn from my idea. My non-standard flavor is, have you guys ever put Lori seasoning salt on popcorn?
No.
Oh, it's the best fucking shit on the planet.
Yeah, I guess it's just salt, but slightly better.
Yeah, that's my cheat answer. That gave me good.
Otherwise, takoyaki puffs. So it's like takoyaki flavor, but in like
I can't
a kind of like almost like a deep
actually,
puff
I,
kind of.
Actually, I should.
it's too soft, and it's like my brain goes no.
I should bring up the thing that I showed Dev a picture of a few weeks ago after telling her about it years ago. The company that makes Pirate's Booty used to make other stuff before they got bought. And one of the things they made were called Tings. They were like corn puff Cheetos, but with no flavoring. And they were actually really good. I sent them to Dev, and she's just commenting on the look of them. Because when you don't have the cheese to hide them, they look weird as hell.
Naked.
Oh, huh.
Yeah, but yeah, I like that.
The one weird food thing that I was trying to recommend for something that I actually enjoy, a weird food thing, and it was a TikTok trend of just taking shredded cheese, putting in a pan and grilling it until it like crispens up and then putting a pickle in it. And okay. So you're just having like melted cheese and pickle. And it's surprisingly very good.
I'm pretty sure that's just called getting home early in high school. Let's see. Then someone said, follow up to a question from a few episodes. Are we sure Terrymon assistant becomes Terrymon unemployed PhD after he gets a PhD and not Gargomon expert?
For sure. Absolutely.
See, now I'm just trying to imagine Rapidmon with the jacket on, the coat.
Wait, so does Gargomon expert get pants and then lose pants? And
would
keep
it, or,
the cloak?
Oh, would, all it, time? Would it be white pants?
No, it would be black dress pants.
We don't have time for that. We don't have time for this idea, Dev. Last call for questions from chat. We have one more that was sent in ahead of time. Someone said, since it's a few weeks until Digimon Con, I was wondering what you'd like and expect to see. I feel like the
announcement of what's going to be there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like the pump has been primed for multiple things. I would like to see a fancy D3, personally. Even if we got a reasonably decent one a couple years ago.
I don't remember past ones having this many, like, what seems unique about this is that, like, none of these things they've teased seem like on their own are going to be that big of a deal, but, like, there are so many of them that, like, it's like rolling the dice enough times that, like...
So that's kind of been, to me, that's kind of been every Digimon Con, except that the kind of things that we kind of know or guessing this time feel like they add up to more because... It isn't traditionally a thing announcement cycle. So, like, that stuff has been announced or is being teased more solid, like they are teasing some O2 stuff. We know they're going to go over some time Stranger stuff. We know they're going to show Beyond, and Kakadu's apparently there, and he has a habit of telling us too much. So, and he's already teased that more Digimon stuff's coming in some form. Harada has teased that more Digimon stuff's coming in some form. They've shown us a new model kit. It feels like it's priming the pump to get people more excited than normal, which makes everything feel amped up. If that makes sense.
I'm confused on the card game front how, like, because they, I forget how recently it was, just a couple weeks ago, they're like, here's it, like all of 2025 planned out, and it's like, oh, gee, this
you
is
you know how fucking annoying it is to wake up to that shit and be like, I got shit to do. What do you mean? I have to sit here for two hours.
You have to make news articles.
I have to sit here for an hour and a half organizing information and writing about it and getting images. Well, like.
Also, Digimon Worlds is happening the weekend before that. So, like, they're probably not going to announce anything significant there, but, like, they might reveal some things. And they're also going to have, like, either what they're going to do in Digimon.
We'll see. Cause, mm-hmm. And then a couple days after that is the stage event at Anime Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Which, that could just be talking about Beyond. That could be, who the fuck knows? It's nuts. It definitely feels energizing, more so. Someone said, what Tailmon armor do you want to see get a card yet? They are trying to make Tailmon armor rush work.
Goatmon.
Need to look at the list.
Goat.
Give me the charge.
Actually, you know, be good. I would want so badly, instead of just a fancier D3, have them release small models of the Digimentals.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, the last time they did a large scale Digimental thing, I think was actually the O2 toys. The Japanese ones.
Yeah,
were like I imported some of those when they were new.
Warming ones.
Yeah, those were neat.
The shell formers.
Wait, is there no Opossumon card? No, I think there isn't, just spelling Opossumon wrong.
See, I'm going to cheat and just say Nefertimon. Doesn't say it has to be one without a card. So I'm saying Nefertimon.
Yeah, I don't really... I love Gatomon, but I don't really love any of the armor forms. Yeah.
Also, sorry. Lynxmon.
Yeah, Lynxmon's like hard, but it's kind of just a ball of fire.
It's a kitty.
Meldrumon? Yeah, I don't know.
Come on, Jeff, you got to answer your answer for all time to this important question.
Kabukimon. The most important Digimon in the franchise.
Okay, that's it for questions. First up, Dev, what Wikimon article would you like people to read this week?
Goatmon.
Not going to make a goat noise? There we go. Jeff, Podigious, I want to say it's like 3 years since you've done an episode.
I was going to say 2.5, but yeah, it might be closer to three, but I can point people to...
I was going
to
say your card site.
Yeah, the card site that I've been doing a lot of improvements to recently, like it... has like a, you know, like you go to the homepage, you can see recent cards that have been revealed. I've been adding a bunch of random features. And
Jeff, give them the address in case I forget to add it to the notes.
Oh, yeah.
It's give them the address.
It's card/.net. Not slash like a slot. The name is card/.net.
What Jeff is saying is he disagrees with your ships and he wants you to email him and tell him your opinion on this.
Just last night, I added a feature that I don't think... The site is entirely me just adding a bunch of features that I find useful and I don't think anyone cares about.
Oh, no, like, I was looking at it earlier and I was like, this feels like completely different from how it was last time I looked at it.
But last night, I added a feature where, like, if you... There's all these complex search queries you can do, but then if you get a result of, like, here's, like, 50 cards out, you can get a little graph of, like, which sets those cards are from and which blocks... So you can see, like, oh, over the course of the game, over the course of the 4 years, they've this particular phrasing they stopped using in year two or whatever. Super niche stuff that only I care about. But
yeah, I'm looking now. It's like, oh, I searched for Akumon, and it's giving me fuzzy matches to Pagumon.
Oh, yeah. you can, there's like, if you go to the main search page, you can see a bunch of the like advanced search queries. So to get just things that are actually named Agumon, you can do N equals Agumon. And then it'll just be...
Wow, you really did... I'm looking here. It's like, wow, I clicked the button for rulings. And wow, there's a lot of shit here.
Yeah, rulings was the original purpose I made the site for. And then I got distracted by everything else. So But yeah, like, if you search for Agumon, ooh,
something's
you can
definitely
see, like,
broken there.
Oh, there's a lot of things that are broken.
There's the on the search page under details underneath the card number. It's trying to show me something, but I don't actually know what it is because I can't see.
Under details?
No. So I searched Agumon, then I clicked details, and it shows the list. On the text mm-hmm. part, which shows the card name, underneath it, there's a little thing that has zeros in it. I think it's meant to be the card year.
Oh, yes.
But it's broken. It's broken in a few places.
Yeah, so mainly one of the other things that distracted me is that almost all the data from here comes from the fandom wiki for the game, which as I started using as a data source, I got more involved in helping to maintain the wiki as well. But yeah, for cards that have were reprinted, some of those are stored as here are both blocks, which I need to clean up so it doesn't display like that.
Yeah, so visit Jeff there. I'm sure Jeff will pop up again in the future. This was just a particularly good week to grab someone.
It's just whack-a-mole. You think you knock me down and I'll pop up.
No, you know what it is? It's more a case of we don't talk regularly. So it becomes that specific thing of forgetting you exist.
Yeah, like I randomly tweeted from Potages the other day and you were like, oh.
No, that's exactly what happened was I saw you tweeted or you did something like, oh, Jeff is someone who should be on the list for this episode. I'll go ask him.
You're not going to repeat my amazing joke on the podcast that I tweeted?
I forgot the joke entirely, if I'm being completely honest.
It was, are the characters in Digimon Adventure Beyond, aka Dab, going to dab?
Oh, yes, that's
a terrible joke.
Yeah, I saw that. It's like, yeah, I'm not inviting him for the humor. just like many SNL, frankly.
I'm just sad we didn't get a Dalek cameo in Digimon Adventure Last Evolution Kizuna, aka Dalek.
I don't know. You look at some of the Digimon in the background, you might see something. So thank you everyone for showing up. We'll catch you in the next few weeks, hopefully with a bit less news. And we're under a month away from Digimon Con. We will see what pops up and Jeff will pop up eventually. Thank you everyone for listening. We will catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.